course.
I wondered, you were obviously separated from the Jewish world very early on.
Yes.
Did you ever come back towards it?
Yes, I did when my father died. Yeah. But I did it for my mother, I think. And I just accepted it and did it, and it faded. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't get involved with any of the various other refugees that came out?
No.
I suppose your history was very different from everybody else's.
Well, I don't know, because I didn't know. I certainly do remember when I was a boy, my parents, who had lots of friends who had horrendous wartime experiences. Mm-hmm. And we would visit them, and either, you know, socially or at some festival or something, maybe Pesach or something, but not especially. My parents had not been religious, and they didn't have a Jewish wedding. It was a civil wedding in Paris, and there wasn't. I didn't receive a Jewish education,
and they really weren't part of that core group that had
no
come over together. So, if you look back now on your time here in Scotland, what would you say were the highest points in those years?
I suppose getting married and having two sons must be a big thing, especially when I realise how fortunate I've been. I mean, we lost absolutely everything. There was nothing left, you know. My parents had a home and a business, and another business, and we lost everything, but we were alive. And I think the fact that I'm comfortably off here, and I've had a good life. It was hard at the beginning for my mother and myself. It was very hard because I didn't go out a lot. I didn't have any money. You know, I didn't have any teens. I didn't go out. We needed the money. My father had got a house from the company. The company bought three big houses in the West End, which they divided up, and they rented out to senior employees, and then latterly sold them off, and my father bought a flat. But because he was in poor health from the military, from the army, he'd got some kidney disease in the army and was very unhealthy, he couldn't get the insurance that went with a mortgage, which meant that when he died, we had to find money to pay the mortgage. My mother had a widow's pension, and she had work from making lampshades. And I'd started off, I can find a pay slip or something at £2.35 or something. Three and sixpence, I think it was, my first week's pay for 44 hours. You know, I wasn't contributing a huge amount, but we had no money. And my clothes came from parcels from America. My mother had some cousin or somebody in America sent, and she would get her clothes altered. And if you went out at night, whether you're going with boys from Springburn or whether you're going from boys from Garnet Hill Shoe, I didn't have a suit. I just didn't go places. Mm-hmm. So it was hard. Anyway, it's all done now, and we're pretty good now.
How long did your mother live till then?
In 1984.
Right.
Well, I think it was. But I'd have to look that up. I need to look it up. My father died in 53, age 55. 84, and she died age 85.
And did she really remain isolated from other Polish people here in London?
No, she went to the Polish club.
Right.
Sikorski. But she wasn't accepted as a Polish person because she was Jewish.
Right.
And she had a very good friend. And my mother was like a Polish patriot, if you liked, and brought me up like that. And yet her good friend, I mean really good friend, told her one day, but you're not Polish, you're Jewish. Now, I can trace our families back to the 1700s, I've managed to trace them back. and they were all in publishing, medicine. They were all educated, not Polish.
That's interesting. But yet she still continued going to the Polish club.
Yes, she did. Well, she was good and jolly. She was and she had a lot of friends there. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you an interesting thing that happened to me. I went to a funeral of a friend of mine, a Polish girl, who got me involved in Scottish Union of Students and the British Council and travelling on student exchanges. And she was a real live wire. Gromek, Eva Gromek, her name was. Anyway, Eva wasn't a well person and she died quite young. And I went to her funeral a decade ago, I don't know. And there was a wee reception after in a wee sort of week in the Polish club in the Sikorsky, and there were people there, and I was chatting, you know, people I didn't know, women, and I was speaking Polish, of course, everybody was speaking Polish. And she said, why don't you join the club? And I was saying, ugh, I don't fancy it. I mean, when my mother was a member, I did go, and I remember doing a slideshow presentation of travels in Poland, you know, in communist time, when these Poles never went there, and I had been in communist times, and I showed them things. I don't know whether they believed what they saw, but there you are. And you know, you should join, you should everything. And I said, ugh, no, but I used to come here with my mother. Was your mother a member? Yes, my mother was a member. What was her name? You know, Saint. And where's she buried? And that's, it's out at Glenduff Hill, but there's a Catholic cemetery there as well. I said, oh, she's out there. Oh, I've never seen that name on a stone. I said, oh, no, she's in the Jewish cemetery. Oh, that was it. No more, you should come and join the club. That conversation finished. That's here in Glasgow.
And do you think of yourself still as Jewish as you ever were?
You must be. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it's got nothing to do with religion, ethnic, call it what you will, there's names for it. But you know, I'm not. I'll wear a kilt, but I'm not Scots, I know. When I work in Scotland, I wear a kilt as a tour manager. Mm-hmm. I used to wear it. Why not?
Absolutely.
I mean, most of the Scots that wear a kilt shouldn't be wearing it anyway either.
And so do your sons, do they still live in Glasgow?
No, one does and one is in Dubai, and both have married out. But they never had Jewish company here. There's no Jews here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one has married a Catholic girl and they've got three children. The second one just started school today.
Oh, lovely.
So there we see them regularly. And the other one's in Dubai, and he's married a Filipino, beautiful girl who was working for him. Now he's working for her. And they've got a little girl. So they're both doing, they have their own internet businesses. They're both doing okay.
So have you been to Dubai?
Very nice.
It's lovely.
So is there any country you haven't been to then?
Yeah, well, there's a few, yeah. We've been to a lot of places, and quite often it's because of a person. Mm-hmm. Like we've been to Korea, but we went to Vietnam, you know, just, and then Zara wanted to go to India and Nepal, so we went trekking in Nepal, and, you know, we just whatever. So our son does the long haul and we do all the internal.
That's how it should be.
It's pretty good. He's good to us.
Oh, I'm sure you were very good to him as you grew up as well.
Good boy.
And the final question I wanted to ask is, you have an amazing collection of the CVs.
Yes, well the two CVs, I do.
You've got an award for it as well.
Oh, I've got a few things. I've got two CVs. I can take them apart right down to the chassis and rebuild, which I have done. I've done it for other people. I've done it for myself. I don't do it now. I've had two CVs since 1970. I've travelled all over Europe in two CVs. And the boys learned to drive in the two CV, and the first cars were two CVs.
Do you think that's your French background?
I don't know. It was just, it's an interesting car and easy to work on. Yeah. So, two CVs, yeah, feature in our family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say that we've both thoroughly enjoyed speaking to you.